And thanks for joining me this evening. I'm Aaron Hay. You're listening to Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5 FM. This week, we're continuing our look at the resident composers for this year's Mizzou International Composers Festival. Joining me by phone is Chelsea Comsleys. Chelsea, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So how did you get into music and composition?
It was kind of a gradual process for me. There wasn't like one sort of turning point. I was always kind of interested in music from an early age, but very untrained. I do feel kind of like a late bloomer still. When I was a kid, would sort of play around on our broken keyboard, and I kind of taught myself to play melodies by ear that way. And in high school, I just started arranging Irish folk music at first, just to see if I could, sort of. And then I began composing, but I didn't actually have any formal instruction until my master's degree. So I guess, yeah, it's just been a gradual growing process from the beginning. That was just something I was really curious about, and it was like a challenging puzzle and a way to express myself.
Okay. When I was reading some of your background, it sounds like association and like musical association and non-musical association is a big important part of like your process. And can you tell me how that plays a role in how you write and what you write?
Yeah, absolutely. That is kind of the key part of my process and inspiration. So I usually start a piece with some sort of non-musical idea. And I often need to see images, just like a collection of images. So I use Pinterest a lot of the time. So I'll create a board and then just sort of like get like hypnotically mesmerized with the board, just sort of staring at it. And seeing images kind of translates into non-visual ideas for me. And it's the process of like translating those into music that is often how I work. Well, usually how I work. And it's almost always visual to begin with. But the thing that's the inspiration might be like a real object that's out in the world, or it might be like a more abstract idea that I kind of only have like a glimpse of in my head. So I've written pieces that are both sort of like abstract inspiration and real life inspiration.
So since you've started with like, even composing or writing or playing Irish folk music and things like that, how has your musical style evolved over the years then? How do you get from writing Irish folk music to modern and contemporary classical?
Yeah, it's changed quite a bit, and it's right now at a very changing point still. At first, I wanted to write film score. I was actually very close to going directly into film scoring. As like when I was in college, it was when I sort of started getting serious about composition, and I started going to festivals as a way to get my first experience writing for real people, composing for real people, not just arranging folk music. And at that point, yeah, I wanted to be, you know, Howard Shore or John Williams or something. And I found film music really inspiring. And I think a lot of people at that age are in the same kind of boat where they want to write like epic, sweeping film score sounding music. And so that's where I started. And I remember my first festivals just feeling this huge inferiority complex. I mean, I still have that. But
everybody does.
Yeah. I think you're doing something wrong if you don't, honestly. But being at those festivals, and I had these like really film score sounding pieces, and then I was first exposed to the music of my peers and contemporary composition kind of through those festivals and realized like how much bigger the world was than I had thought. And so there was this sort of like really long and gradual and painful process of growing from the girl who just wanted to write like epic film score to trying to express the ineffable through music. And it's interesting. I feel like I've kept the wanting to drive the music with drama and emotion and like the kind of moments of a film where it's the score that leads you to feel like the height of some emotion. But for example, my husband and I just finished watching another round of all of the Lord of the Rings films. And when you get to the particular moment at the end of the last one and Aragorn says, "My friends, you bow to no one," then the score reaches this climactic moment with the Shire theme playing in unison strings. And I actually, like, I've seen the film, you know, like a dozen times, but I still just, like, can't stop crying at that moment just because of the film score. Is like the way that the music is kind of like used to manipulate you in a way.
Oh, for sure.
Make you feel like a dramatic high point. It's like that part of music that I don't ever want to let go of. And it's interesting because that is like seen as sort of antithesis of the idea of the avant-garde to some people, like to some teachers, movers, shakers in the avant-garde contemporary music composition world. I'm thinking of people in Europe mostly that say like any recognizable shred of a melody or like basically any time you can predict what's going to happen in the next few seconds, like patterns that have been used to create a recognizable movement through time is kind of seen as like a lesser, and they don't describe it the way I just did, mm-hmm. but they describe it as like, you know, just sort of lesser music of the common people or something like that. And it's like seen as a more inferior form of the art. But I really want to like meld those two worlds completely together, not just a little bit of each, but the complete ability of music to drive drama through time and to like guide people through an emotional landscape, as well as the ability to create really unusual and abstract textures and shapes and unusual orchestration choices and make them feel. So at the same time, their brain is thinking that like the drama is familiar and they could tell what's happening, but the thing that they're experiencing is like otherworldly. I really want to reach a point where I can mix those two worlds in the best way together.
Wow. Okay. That's really cool. So then does that reflect on any of the piece that you're working on for Alarm Will Sound then for its premiere here in July?
Yeah, in this piece, I'm really excited to hear it. I'm actually quite proud of this piece, and that's saying a lot coming from me because I'm hardly ever proud of anything. And it was like a huge growing process writing this piece, and about twice, like up to really quite close to the deadline, I had a kind of plan for the piece that was comfortable. And it was going to be easier to write and kind of catchy. And I had this plan like worked out in kind of a couple of different ways. And both times I was like, no, you're better than this. You want to grow out of this point. Like, I know you could do something bigger with this piece. And so finally the ending result that I came out with is pretty wildly different than any piece I've ever written. And that's something that's really only happened to me kind of one other time with a piece where it, like, there's sort of a progression that you can see through what I've written, and then there's, like, an outlier that suddenly different and better. So I am thinking and hoping that this piece has done the same thing. And I tried to, it was a very difficult process, like really a huge challenge emotionally and mentally to do that. And it even involved just sort of like getting myself into altered mind states, you know, while staring at my Pinterest board and trying to just like let the ideas translate directly into sound rather than trying to filter it through my idea of what a coherent and well-structured piece might be, and just sort of like directly writing it in, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And it ends up being a piece that has an interesting melding of, how do I say this, old-fashioned things and humor and sort of almost like trippy, buzzing, altered mental states. Like the one thing that I was using as inspiration when I was writing this was the piece is called Hexactinellida, and that's the scientific name of a glass sea sponge, which are really fascinating creatures. And their structure is this really beautiful grid-like lattice of silica. So that's why they're called glass sponges, is because they're actually kind of made of glass in that they're made of silica. And these lattices look quite similar to very like futuristic algorithmic architecture and 3D printed forms in art and architecture. And it reminds me of a sort of buzzing grid that I sometimes see if I like have a moment of aura and a migraine or something.
Sure.
Or sometimes as you're just falling asleep and you're in that in-between state, once in a while I'll see this like crazy buzzing like lattice, black and white, or sometimes purple. And so it was that sort of like trippy, like almost craziness that I wanted to capture, that element into the music. So there's that. And I think that, yeah, like I said, like quite a bit of humor, and like a kitschy, campy sort of way. And like I'm mixed in with some of the, I guess you'd call it like North American avant-garde and some European. I was listening to a lot of Olga Neuwirth as I was writing this piece. So I think some of her music, well, I tried to sort of put her ideas in a little bit, like her orchestration and texture styles. Mm-hmm. She's an Austrian composer, really cool, like quite young right now. I think she's barely in her 40s or something, but has already become like a huge major player worldwide. And then also like some of the Americans, George Lewis, Alex Minchuk. I'm just looking at my inspiration playlist right now. Eric Wobble, Sam Fuda. There's like elements of that style of music mixed with like over the top romantic Scriabin, but like really messed up. And yeah, kitschy, campy, the drum set music. It was quite an experience for me to complete that piece.
Yeah, I can imagine. So then are you, I mean, obviously you're excited to come to Missouri and have your piece performed here. Was it difficult to write for Alarm Will Sound? Did you enjoy doing it?
Oh, I absolutely enjoyed doing it. And it's just such a crazy opportunity. It hasn't even really sunk in yet that I'm writing for Alarm Will Sound, like this group that's been one of the like looked up to groups for me for many years. And like, I'm actually writing them a piece. I wrote them a piece. It's just crazy. And I'm super excited to get there and meet them and work with them and work with the composition faculty. It's going to be a great part of the summer.
Well, we're really excited to have you, and we're definitely excited to hear your piece performed on July 27th here at the Missouri Theater here in Columbia. Chelsea, thanks so much for taking some time out of your schedule and telling us all about the piece and all about your method of composition, your process, and everything else.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.